And tonight we have a wonderful man of God. His name is Daniel Connor. I'm sure that many of you have heard about him. He is a holiness preacher, an evangelist, a Christian apologetic, and the director of the Evangelical Outreach. He's been in ministry over 3 decades. We're not talking to somebody that does not know what they're talking about. He is a well-astute of the Word of God, man of God, who is coming here tonight, giving his time to reach out that your ears would be open. We pray that before the show, that your ears would be open, that you would receive this, that you would receive this. He's written several books. 2 of them deal exclusively with the subject that we're going to talk about tonight, Once Saved, Always Saved. And I'm holding his 801-page book called The Believer's Conditional Security. Yes, sir. Conditional Security. It's the most exhaustive, comprehensive book ever written, refuting the myth of eternal security, because that's just what it is. It's a myth from the pit of hell. I just want to introduce him. Dan, are you there with us, brother?
Yes, Sister Patricia, I am here, yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. I am so blessed that you would take your time to come on this show tonight and to reach out to our listeners and to be a blessing, to open up the ears and the eyes with the Word of God and rightly divide the Word in a topic that has been under so much controversy. It's been deceiving many people. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you to say all those nice words. May God help us today to explain this in a very simplistic way so that everybody could understand what grace is, what the Christian life is, and the damage that sin can do to a real believer. All these things have been distorted, just exactly like the Bible says would occur, that at the end of this age, that people will turn their ears from the truth and they'll turn aside to mythology, that's doctrinal mythology, or fables. And that's exactly what has happened. All kind of people think that they're a Christian even though they're alcoholic. They think that they're a Christian and they're ensnared by pornography. And they're living very immorally, but nonetheless, they have been told that they're assured an entrance into God's paradise kingdom because at one past point in their life, they have been regenerated. It's just a terrible, terrible day that we're living in. The image of a Christian has been smeared. The gospel is nothing but a form of godliness, that's all. And the world is laughing because there's really no power. No power is being preached. Nobody is living holy. They don't think they have to live holy. And that's because of the way the once saved, always saved, the eternal security teachers, the Calvinists, have distorted the real gospel of grace. They call it grace, but it really is not grace at all.
Yes, it's totally a lie, as I said, from the pit of hell. I know when I backslid back in... Kevy was born in 92. When I backslid back in 1990, I got born. I received the Lord as my Messiah, as my Savior, back on July 27th, 1985, at 7:30 in the morning. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it, Brother Dan. But then I started letting the old Patty back in. And I walked away from the Lord for 6 months. And for 6 months, I knew if I died, I would have burnt in hell. I knew it, as I know I'm talking to you tonight, brother. And I thank God that I came back to my senses, that the Lord received me back, that I celebrated my 31st wedding anniversary this year, and that my son, who was a promise from God, a mighty preacher of God, Kevin, he is just turned 19 a couple of weeks ago, and he was my gift from God for coming back to my senses, him and his 16-year-old brother, Jesse. This is something that's very serious, very serious. I want to give you complete liberty tonight. I want to give you this as a pulpit that you could teach from the Word of God. Now, if I hear something, I might jump in and play devil's advocate because I know that we have a lot of people listening with some other thoughts in their mind. All righty, well, brother, I'm just going to turn this over to you right now, and I want you to teach us exactly what the Word says.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I would like to begin by saying in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, Jesus said, difficult is the way that leads to life. It says difficult in the New King James, and the New Revised Standard Version says the same. It says hard is the road that leads to life. And that's exactly what is shown in the New Testament. It's a difficult walk, and it's difficult for various reasons. But let me just back up a step or two, and let me begin with how a person comes to get born again, because a lot of people are confused about that. A person becomes a new creation in Christ Jesus in a moment's time. We are saved by grace through faith. Our faith has to be in Jesus, and he's the one we can go to directly. We repent of our sins. We turn from our idols. And when we humbly go to him to follow him and let him be our boss, our Lord, our King, to do his will at a moment's time, instantly, we will be set free from our sin addictions. Now, that's a very important truth, what I just said. Jesus said in John 8:34, the truth will set you free. The context is dealing with sin addictions. You will be set free from your sin addictions, if you read all the way on down to verse 36. So, there's a ton of people out there that think they're Christian, and all they have ever done is just pray a simple prayer. They went up to the church altar. They did something else that the congregation was into at the moment. But they've never really been changed. So they have never been born again. They've never become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And because of that, they have never been put in God's family. So they really can't backslide. And they really don't know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about living a holy life, because they have always been a slave to sin. But there are many people that have truly, legitimately been set free from their sin addictions, truly, legitimately become servants of God. In fact, just 2 or 3 days ago, we got a testimony from a person that was definitely set free from his sin addictions. He lived holy for a time period, and then he backslid at a young age, in his late teens, with his girlfriend. And he wasn't too concerned, because he was taught once saved, always saved. He felt that he was still going to heaven, and that's what they told him. He got involved with drugs, and he became, believe it or not, a homosexual prostitute. He needed money for his cocaine addiction, and he even pimped out his wife when he could to get extra money to support his drugs. And all along, they told him he was a Christian. So he ended up in jail. And while he was in jail, a pastor went over to him, and they would talk about eternal security. And he actually told the pastor who wanted to convince him eternal security is false, that he needed to repent, that he needs salvation, he told that pastor that he needed to be saved. He told him, you're not believing grace, you're the one that's not a Christian. But finally, thank God, he opened his heart up. That pastor said to him, if you were wrong, would you really want to know? And somehow that pastor, don't ask me how, he got a hold of our book, our 800-page book, The Believer's Conditional Security, and he gave it to him, and it had been a while. He had it with him. He got out of prison. It was there in his apartment, and he finally opened it up one evening, and I guess that was right after he did another homosexual act for the sake of more money. He needed his drugs, and he started reading, and it became very clear, according to the Bible, that there is no eternal security. If you backslide, you're like a prodigal, and Jesus taught that the prodigal was spiritually dead and lost when he was in wild living and with the prostitutes. Now, it's very, very grieving to me to hear people say that the prodigal remains saved. For them to say that the prodigal remains saved, they're really saying that there are Christians that are out there running with prostitutes, which is absolutely ludicrous. It's a smear on the Christian image, and it's contradictory to many scriptures. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 especially says that such people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Revelation 21:8, Ephesians 5:5 through 7, and others are very clear that the sexually immoral, like the prodigal was at that point, would not enter the kingdom of God. So when he repented, he turned from those sins, he turned from those idols in his life, and he came back to the Father to serve him. In Luke 15:24, Jesus said that the Father says, my son was dead, he's alive again, was lost, and is found. So he became alive again, he got saved again. Unfortunately, that brings up another issue, because there are some people out there that reject eternal security, but then they would say if you lose your salvation, you can never get it back. But that's not what Jesus taught, because in Luke 15:24, Jesus said the prodigal got saved again. So backsliders can get saved again, and that's not the only verse where that is found. It's also found in James 5:19-20 and Romans 11:19-23. So this is really great news for the backslider that may be listening. Very, very good news. Now, the reason some people think you can't come back ever is because of what Hebrews 6:4-6 says. It states that they cannot be renewed again by repentance. But that's because they committed what's called eternal sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which Jesus said can never be forgiven. And then people have been so scared, so terrified, thinking they can't come back to God, even though they want to come back to God. They have called our ministry, they have written us, and sometimes even in tears they have contacted us. And they want to know, and I want them to know, and if there's anybody out there listening like them, or perhaps slightly different, listen carefully, because if the prodigal got saved, well, then sexual immorality isn't a thing. That is eternal sin. Amen? I should be perfectly clear. If Peter came back after he disowned Jesus, then disowning Jesus cannot be eternal sin. In fact, Jesus explicitly told us in Mark chapter 3:22-30, what eternal sin or blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is, which is the same as the unforgivable sin. And that is clearly those people thinking that Jesus had a demon, and by the power of the devil he performed his miracles. Now, getting back to Hebrews 6:4-6, that is historically what they would have to do to get back into the synagogue. See, Hebrews 6:4-6 is written to Hebrew Christians, to Hebrews. And that was a great pressure to return to the synagogue. And for them to do that, that would be the horrible sin they would have to commit to get back. Hence, they could not be renewed again.
Break that down. Could you break that down a little bit more? Break down that, what you just said about the Hebrews.
Yes, I will be glad to. There are some people out there that actually think Hebrews 6:4-6 is not even losing salvation. They would say those people were never saved to begin with. Other ones would say they lost, they retained their salvation, but all they did was just lose their fellowship. Very clearly, they were partakers of the Holy Spirit. And the description from verse 4 to 6 could only be somebody that came to know the Lord Jesus in a saving way. And in spite of the fact that that occurred, they went back. They fell away. And they could not be renewed again by repentance, is what it says. And the reason why is because they have committed this thing that I just referred to a few minutes ago, eternal sin. Now, I just wanted to say that, not to get off on a side issue, on a tangent too far, but I wanted to say that because we were talking prior to that about the prodigal. Because some people do backslide, not that you have to, the Apostle Paul didn't. The Lord Jesus often taught, when he taught salvation, that people can lose their salvation. And most people don't know that. Most people only know John 3:16. When they think about what Jesus said about salvation, they know that in his conversation with Nicodemus, that you have to be born again. But Jesus taught in at least 7 parables the truth about salvation. Now grab hold of that. He taught salvation at least 7 times in the various parables, and especially in the parable of the sower. Luke 8:13, he's referring to some that believe for a while, in a time of testing they fall away. And when they fell away, the plant that had life in it died. It withered. And that's likened unto a Christian, a person person that did believe, the person before never came to saving faith. That's the type of person that would say was never saved to begin with. That's type A in the parable of the sower. I'm talking about type B in the parable of the sower. That's Luke 8:13. That one, it was persecution that took him out. Now, that's very important, because all that live gone in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. And if you repent and you have a saving faith in Jesus, you're living godly. And if it's a situation as with me, and I believe that's almost 100% the case, when I came to salvation, all my friends were ungodly. And where I worked at the time, I worked with a bunch of ungodly people. So if you live godly around such people, things are going to happen. There's going to be friction. And not only that, Jesus said he came to cause family division. And he elaborated in Matthew chapter 10, 34 through about 38, but especially through 36, he's come to divide the parents from the children and the children from the parents and the in-laws and all that. He came to bring a sword. And a lot of people can't handle that. A lot of people can't deal with that, and they back off and they fall away. You see, they just believe for a while. In a time of testing, persecution's testing, in a time of testing, they fall away. And that's only one of the times that Jesus taught about salvation, where he said you could lose your salvation, and that was only one part of the parable of the sower. Then he went on and he said, the seed that falls among the thorns, that's the person where the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things come in and choke the fruitfulness of God's word out of their life. Notice I said fruitfulness. Now, folks, listen to me. God demands that you bring forth fruit. If you don't, you're going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. See, some people think they could live like the devil and still get into the kingdom of God, which is absolutely antithetical to the message of the Bible. Absolutely, positively antithetical to what the Bible says. The Bible says, every tree that does not bring forth good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. It's that simple. Now notice, in John chapter 15, Jesus taught it's the Heavenly Father that will see to it you do not get into his heaven if you're fruitless. Not only that, now, if that didn't knock you off your chair, this one will. Jesus will see to it you don't get in the kingdom if you're lukewarm. He's going to vomit you right out of his body. And if you get vomited out of the body of Christ, you're not in the body of Christ no more, folks. If Jesus expels you from his body, you are no longer a Christian. And that can happen. He gave that warning. Okay, so we just found out quite a few things here. We found out sinful temptation can take you out in Jesus' teaching of the prodigal. We found out that persecution could do it. And then you got the cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, lust for other things. And, of course, family division. Now, before I go on, I just want to mention this. The God of the Bible is a God that will test us. Let me say that again. The God of the Bible is a God that will test us. And we get tested in the furnace of affliction. So, folks, everybody got trouble. You're not alone. These problems come to you, but they're not unique to you. Everybody gets tested. Read the New Testament. Consider what Job went through. We get tested. We go through rough times. You don't have to fall away, but unfortunately, the tempter is going to try to get you to fall away. And folks, we're living in a very deceitful time. There are savage wolves in sheep's clothing. And notice I said sheep's clothing. And then the devil can come as an angel of light. This is deception. And the devil came to Eve as a friend. Notice, he's a deceiver. So you got to be alert. Now, getting back to Jesus' teaching, listen to this. If that didn't grab you, hopefully this one will. Jesus taught again about salvation in what's known as the unmerciful servant. And when he taught about the unmerciful servant, guess what will cause you to lose your salvation according to Jesus? Unforgiveness. And Jesus said you're going to be sinned against. Folks, when you come to salvation, you have a heart of flesh. The heart, the stony heart, the hard heart is gone. And you will be sinned against. And it hurts. Terribly it hurts. But you have to forgive. And if you don't forgive those that sin against you, your sins will not be forgiven. Jesus said that clearly, Matthew 6:14-15. But in Matthew 18, where he taught about the unmerciful servant, he said that that person would be tortured until he could pay back everything he owed. And he could never pay it back because he would be incarcerated. In other words, he's going to go to hell's fire. Unforgiveness can lead you to hell, folks. Don't believe what these people were saying. They downplay the seriousness of walking in unforgiveness. You must forgive people that sin against you. And then in Jesus' teaching of the parable of the talents, I like to call that Jesus' 5-2-1 teaching. One was given five talents, 1-2 and 1-1. And the one that lost his salvation, he was the one that was only given one talent. Now, it's not that he lost the one talent, but he didn't bring forth fruit. So it's getting right back around to what I said earlier. You got to be fruitful. And if not, your tree will be cut down, your limb will be cut down, and it will be thrown into the fire. And in this particular case, it's Matthew chapter 25, verse 30. He would be thrown into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, that is not heaven. That is the fiery furnace, according to what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 13, 41 and 42. So Jesus taught the person that was a servant, the person that had this ability to bring forth good fruit, he said that that person would end up in such a horrible place. And I already mentioned the lukewarmness. And then now, grab hold of this. Here's one that will stir you. And for years and years and years, I heard it taught. I heard it twisted. I heard it distorted by the grace changers. I'm talking about the eternal security teachers. They hate that verse. In Matthew 18, verse 3, they hate it. They hate that verse, and sometimes they only quote part of it. But the context of Matthew 18, verses 1 through 3 is really clear. You got the disciples. These are Christians. These are people that already had been born again, people that had already believed. They're following Jesus. They're in his spiritual family. And they asked Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, what Jesus said to them is an absolute mind blow. He said, unless you change and become like little children, you, now he's speaking of Christians, people that had been born again, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you look it up for yourself. It's Matthew 18, 1 through 4. And he called a little child, and he wanted them to know they needed to be humble like that little child. So what that says to me is ministry ambition can actually take you down. There are some people that get jealous. Some people slander other people. We've been slandered. And that's exactly how it was with the Apostle Paul. Even Jesus was maliciously slandered. So, folks, this is, unfortunately, different things that happen. Remember what I said earlier. Matthew 7, verse 14. Hard or difficult is a road that leads to life. Why? Well, there's persecution, there's all these temptations, there's all these cares of life and deceitfulness of riches and lust for other things and unforgiveness and all these false teachers around us. And that's another massive problem. False teachers. False teachers, folks. Now listen to me. I was raised in a false religion. I was raised a Catholic. Did not know what the Bible says about salvation. I started to read the Bible in my early 20s. I couldn't believe what I was reading. But I got out of the Catholic Church, and I started going to a Protestant church. and I had never heard some of the things they were talking about. It took a while for me to try to figure out what was happening. It was so bizarre to me. It was like landing on Mars, but nonetheless, I got in that circle, and I started to realize there are all kind of false teachers that have Bibles, because when I was raised a Catholic, there was never any emphasis on a Bible. Nobody ever brought a Bible to the Catholic Church. Never. Never. But now...
I went to a Catholic... I was born Jewish, and I was raised a Catholic, and I went to parochial school, and you didn't read your Bible. You listened to what the priest said, and if you didn't understand something, they would tell you, it's not for you to know. That's what they would tell us.
Yeah, it's just... terrible the way that a lot of people, and you're talking about 1 billion people on the planet, are Catholic. And then you got all these ecumenical leaders, they're compromising with Catholic leaders, with the Pope. And folks, it's a totally different plan of salvation. It has nothing to do with what the Bible says about salvation. It can't bring salvation. But that's a different subject, altogether different. But I wanted to say, there's false teachers galore, people quoting the Bible. The devil can quote Scripture. And, of course, you got the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses that will come and knock on our door, but a lot of people already know about them. But what they don't know about, what they don't know, are all the false teachers on the TV and the radio, and especially in the so-called Christian bookstores. You would tend to think, well, if it's in a Christian bookstore, then it's sound. They wouldn't let something that wasn't sound in a Christian bookstore. But, folks, that's not true. The Christian bookstores are filled with all kind of false teaching, and not just minor false teaching. I'm talking about false teaching that is poisonous, that's deadly regarding salvation itself, that will affect your soul. Your most valuable possession is your soul. And what these savage wolves in sheep's clothing, now that's what Jesus called them. He said these are ferocious wolves in sheep's clothing. In other words, they're bad news to the sheep. It's one thing for a wolf to be around sheep, but if that wolf is camouflaged like a sheep, that wolf, especially a ferocious wolf, a ravenous wolf, will do more harm than he could do otherwise. But that's how Jesus said these false teachers, these false prophets are. So they're on the TV, they're on the radio, and what these people do, now these are slick people because they're parroting things that come from demons. The Bible says there are doctrines of demons, and if you ever study demons, it will terrorize you, and that's because demons must apparently know the Scriptures well enough that they can twist it, and that's why some of these arguments from the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Muslims and others, including the eternal security teachers, sound so good. And it sounds on the surface that they have something solid to say. But folks, listen to me. The Bible is without contradiction, and the Bible does not absolutely, positively does not contradict itself, and the Bible clearly, clearly teaches there's a conditional security that you can backslide like the prodigal. You can become spiritually dead and lost. In the book of Genesis, the very first time that God spoke to man, he spoke to Adam, and he gave him that warning. The day that he would eat from that tree with the forbidden fruit, what would happen? He would die. Speaking of spiritual death, see, Adam had eternal life. He was there in the Garden of Eden. He would have lived there forever. He had eternal life, and he lost that eternal life. He lost it through sin. God gave him that warning that he would lose it. And the devil, the first thing the devil said in Genesis 3 verse 4 was, you will not surely die. The exact opposite of what God said. And you know what? Sad to say, that's what Eve believed, and when she believed that, she went ahead and sinned. She never sinned until she came to believe she would not die through disobedience. And that's the essence of what eternal security is. Eternal security is a snare for your soul. Eternal security will set you up for a spiritual fall. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, if you think you're standing firm, watch out, you don't fall. And that's exactly what these eternal security teachers, the grace changers, are trying to do. They're trying to make you think that you're standing so secure, so firm, you cannot possibly, in any way, shape, or form, miss an entrance into the kingdom of God in spite of all this mountainous evidence from the Bible. It's all through the entire Bible, folks. All through the entire Bible. If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, he will die for it. Speaking of spiritual death, 5 times in Ezekiel, and it's all through the New Testament. The Apostle Paul. Romans 8:13, if you live according to sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. He told those people that had already been born again, warned them that they would die spiritually if they lived according to the flesh. If they lived according to the flesh, they would die spiritually. Now, listen to this. Now, here's something very clear, very powerful. I can't conceive how people can miss it, but they do. We're living in a day where people don't like to hear about anything negative, so they want to cut out hell. Well, folks, I recommend that you take some time and look up hell in the Bible. Hell was real. Jesus spoke of it. Now, listen to this. Not only did Jesus speak about hell, not only is it horrific, but most of the hell warnings were given to people that had already been saved. Did you hear that? Let me say that again. Most of the hell warnings were given to people that had already been saved. And the most stirring of all, the most stirring hell warning of all, is the one in Mark chapter 9, 43 through 48. That's what Jesus said, cut your hand and foot off and gouge your eye out. It's better for you to enter life than to end up in hell with 2 eyes and 2 feet and 2 hands. So, if you check the context, just go back a couple verses to around verse 41, and it becomes clear that Jesus is speaking to the disciples. It was the disciples that got that warning. Now, here's a mind blow, because these grace changers, what they do, they recognize they have to do some twisting of the Word of God in order to preserve their doctrine. They don't like that, where we would read in John 6:66 that the disciples walked away and followed Jesus no more. And they don't like the idea that Judas was called a disciple. So they want to change the definition of disciple of Christ and make it something other than what the Bible actually teaches. The tail end of Matthew chapter 12, Jesus pointed to his disciples and he said that was his spiritual family. My mother and brothers are his disciples, is what he was talking about. Those that hear the word of God and they put it into practice. So that is what Judas was at one time. Now, Judas was an apostle, held the highest office in the church, and he was put there by the Lord Jesus. Now imagine that. Jesus put Judas in the highest office of the church, so there's no ifs, ands, or buts that Judas was once saved. If not, then Jesus went ahead and put a child of the devil in that office, which means that Jesus violated Titus 1 and 1 Timothy 3. To be in spiritual leadership, you have to have godly character, and you have to be sound in doctrine. And if Judas was always a child of the devil, which is what the grace changers say, then he was of ungodly character and therefore disqualified. But that is not the truth. Jesus put him there because he was a disciple. He made him an apostle, like the other 12. And he was the same kind of disciple as the other 12. And Jesus said to them, all 12. Now listen to this, folks. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, all men will hate you because of me. He that endures to the end will be saved. Now, that's a very important verse. And it's not just found there in Matthew 10, verse 22. It's found also in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. We've come to share in Christ if we hold firm to the end, the confidence we had at first. Notice it says the end. That means the end of our life. So if you backslide and you die in your sins, you have not endured to the end to be saved. You will go to hell. You can yet go to hell. Let me say that again. Folks, if you're a holy man of God, a holy woman of God, listen, you can yet go to hell. That is the message of the Bible. That is the message of grace. You will have to hold on. You will have to guard yourself. You will have to keep yourself under grace. And as you do your part, God will do his part. But you have free will, and the devil can deceive you and get in. And that explains why some people backslide. If it was surely left up to God, like the grace changers say, nobody would ever backslide, because God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If it was surely left up to God and God alone, everybody would live holy. Nobody would get involved in false doctrine. Nobody would go astray. But unfortunately, it's all through the Bible. All kind of casualties. All kind of horrible things happening. And folks, this is just the way it is. Hard is the road that leads to life. You are in a spiritual war, a spiritual battle. And if we could see in a spirit realm, it would be like bombs blowing up and bullets whizzing by. There's all kind of activity in the spirit realm. And you got to walk with the full armor of God. You got to walk guarded. The Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows a wellspring of life. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:22, keep yourself pure. And in 1 John 5:21, keep yourself from idols. And Revelation 3:11, it says, hold on to what you have so that no man will take your crown. Hold on to what you have so that no man will take your crown. God's not going to hold on for you. You have to hold on to it yourself. And somebody wants your crown, folks. You hear me? They want your crown, according to the Bible. Peter said the devil prowls around throughout the earth seeking whom he can devour. He already got the unsaved people. He wants you if you're a Christian. And Peter went on, he said that we need to be alert and self-controlled. So if you're not alert and self-controlled, folks, you're going to be taken out. You're not going to last. You're going to be a casualty. You're going to backslide. And what makes it worse? These savage wolves in sheep's clothing are going to tell you, you're still a Christian. You're losing your rewards. You'll lose a higher position in the kingdom, and you lost your fellowship. But you're still a son, because once a son, always a son. This is the kind of answer they will give to somebody that must repent for salvation's sake, and because they don't think they have to repent for salvation's sake, they don't repent. It's when they realize they're back on the road to hell, then they repent. And folks, I say that from experience. We've been battling on the internet a long time, this thing called once saved, always saved, eternal security, the perseverance of the saints, and sometimes the preservation of the saints. And we know, because people have told us, they don't repent until they find out there is no eternal security. Then they repent, including, believe it or not, some people have actually ended up in prison because of this doctrine. That's the fruit of eternal security. You know, suicides, broken homes through adultery, criminal acts. This is the fruit of eternal security. And you parents out there, listen to me. One sure way to ruin and destroy your children. I'll tell you how to do it. Teach them eternal security. Teach them all they're going to lose when they get drunk and they're sexually immoral. And they look at the porn. And they want to blend in with this world. All they're going to lose is nothing more than some puny, pitiful rewards. Something lesser than salvation like that. Folks, you're dealing with something so vital, so important. This is stretching on into eternity. This is not a dry run. This is not a practice drill. This is for all eternity. This is the real thing. And where you're going to be 50 years from now is where you will be 50 trillion years from now. And most people are going to hell. If you're like most, you're going to be in hell with them. You can still go to hell. Jesus said, all men will hate you because of me. He that endures to the end will be saved. Do you know why Jesus said, he that endures to the end will be saved? Jesus said, he that endures to the end will be saved because he that endures to the end will be saved. That means if you don't endure to the end, you're not going to be saved. That's Jesus' teaching, Matthew 10:22. Read it for yourself, memorize it, ponder it, and folks, wake up! The eternal security teachers have lulled you asleep. They have you thinking you do nothing, folks. That is not grace. That's what they're saying. If you try to do something, you're in works. You're in legalism. That's heresy. That's cult. That's bondage. Well, folks, those people don't even know what grace is. They don't have a clue what grace is. Grace is, now listen, before you think I'm a heretic, listen to this. Grace is given to the humble. Therefore, you have to be humble to get grace. Did you hear that? So therefore, it cannot be unmerited favor. If it was unmerited favor, everybody would get grace, including those that were not humble, and yet the Bible says clearly, you have to be humble to get grace. And not only that, the Apostle Paul taught that you can fall from grace. He taught you're saved by grace, Ephesians 2:8-9, but he also taught you can fall from grace, Galatians 5:2-4, and to the place where Christ is of no value to you at all. Now, if I didn't grab your attention yet, listen to this. In 1 Timothy 3:6, one of the warnings that the Apostle Paul gave Timothy was he needed to make sure that he did not put a new convert into spiritual leadership because they're going to be lifted up in pride and fall under the same condemnation as the devil. Now, we're talking a new convert, a new Christian, somebody that's saved, that new convert could fall under the condemnation of the devil. So Paul just said, 1 Timothy 3:6, that new convert will end up in the lake of fire. And if that's true, then there's no eternal security. And if there was no eternal security for Judas, and we know he went to hell, woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man, it would be better for him if he had not been born, Mark 14:21. Well, guess what? There was no eternal security for him. Well, of course not. You have to endure to the end to be saved. Judas didn't endure to the end, so he wasn't saved. He went to hell. And folks,
this is good teaching, Dan. This is really good teaching. We're gonna be breaking in a few minutes, and we're gonna be coming back to this. But this is a hard word. We have a special guest by the name of Daniel Connor. He's a holiness preacher, evangelist, Christian apologist, and the director of the Evangelical Outreach. Now, you want to get these books. I want to push the books for the main reason I want to push the books is so you can find out the truth and have it on your shelf and share it with others. All you have to do if you want to order the books is dial 724-632-3210. That's 724-632-3210. Dan, I want you to get a nice big glass of water. I hear your voice. I know that you're passionate about what you're preaching here because it's the truth. And I just want you to take a little break. We're going to take a little break. We're going to come back, and then we're going to get back into this. And if you're one of these people that are, yes, Mom, I'm on the choir, and then when you leave Mom and Dad, you're smoking a doobie and you're drinking whatever you can get your hands on and you're having sex, you need to know you're going to burn in hell. This is your eternal soul we're talking about tonight. You've been duped. You've been lied to. You can lose your salvation. Please, please, please do not block this message tonight. Do not. This is the truth. It's the truth. We'll be right back. You can lose your salvation, and Christ will return for a pure bride. This is Daniel Connor that we have with us. It's a privilege to have him here with us today. He's the director of the Evangelical Outreach. He is a holiness preacher, holiness from the inside out, that's for sure. He's an evangelist, a Christian apologist, and this is for over three decades, and he's written several books. We love you. We love you. That's why we're doing this tonight. Brother Dan, go ahead and take it off.